Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachom. Our text for reflection is Lamentations chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. Lamentations 1, 1 to 12. Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She who was once great among the nations now sits alone like a widow. Once the queen of all the earth, she is now a slave. She sobs through the night, tears stream down her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one left to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her and become her enemies. Judah has been led away into captivity, oppressed with cruel slavery. She lives among foreign nations and has no place of rest. Her enemies have chased her down, and she has nowhere to turn. The roads to Jerusalem are in mourning, for crowds no longer come to celebrate the festivals. The city gates are silent, her priests groan, her young women are crying. How bitter is her fate! Her oppressors have become her masters, and her enemies prosper. For the Lord has punished Jerusalem for her many sins. Her children have been captured and taken away to distant lands. All the majesty of beautiful Jerusalem has been stripped away. Her princes are like starving deer searching for pasture. They are too weak to run from the pursuing enemy. In the midst of her sadness and wandering, Jerusalem remembers her ancient splendor. But now she has fallen to her enemy, and there is no one to help her. Her enemy struck her down and laughed as she fell. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, so she has been tossed away like a filthy rag. All who once honored her now despise her, for they have seen her stripped naked and humiliated. All she can do is groan and hide her face. She defiled herself with immorality and gave no thought to her future. Now she lies in the gutter with no one to lift her out. Lord, see my misery, she cries. The enemy has triumphed. The enemy has plundered her completely, taking every precious thing she owns. She has seen foreigners violate her sacred temple, the place the Lord had forbidden them to enter. Her people groan as they search for bread. They have sold their treasures for food to stay alive. O Lord, look, she mourns, and see how I am despised. Does it mean nothing to you all, you who pass by? Look around and see if there is any suffering like mine, which the Lord brought on me when he erupted in fierce anger. My theme for reflection is when the city sits alone and God still hears. When the city sits alone and God still hears. If your music app had a skip the sad songs button, many of us would press it, especially when the playlist lands on Lamentations. Yet scripture won't let us live only in measure keys. Lamentations 1 opens with a single aching word, how? As Jerusalem is pictured like a widow queen sitting alone, her streets empty, her allies gone, and her shame exposed. The poet is brutally honest. Enemies have ravaged the city. Yes, beneath it all lies a deeper wound. The Lord has made her suffer for the multitude of her transgressions. In other words, God is not absent from the crisis. Mysteriously, he is involved. And still the city pleads, look, O Lord, and see. The same God who judges is the only one who can heal. The problem Lamentations exposes is our tendency to dodge lament. We prefer explanations to tears, distraction to confession, and optimism to truth. But the Bible gives us an alphabet for grief, quite literally. These chapters are acrostic poems, teaching us to bring sin and sorrow to God rather than to suppress them or outsource them. The poet does not deny divine justice, nor does he despair. He dares to name pain to the very God whose holiness has burned against their idolatry. That bold faith, telling God the truth in God's presence, is the path back to life. And where does this path lead for us? To Jesus, who wept over Jerusalem's ruin and on the cross took upon himself the city's cry. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Christians have long heard that line echo at Calvary. In Christ, God enters the rubble, wounded, pierced, and yet reconciling the world to himself. As Tim Keller observed, suffering is actually at the heart of the Christian story. At the cross, justice and mercy meet. Our transgressions are not minimized, they are borne. Our griefs are not dismissed, they are carried. Lament becomes worship, because the God who hears is also the God who saves. What then does lamentations mean for us today? From war-torn cities and disaster zones to hospital rooms, empty tables and private shames. First, it licenses honest prayer. We do not need to tidy our emotions before we speak with God. Second, it calls for confession, personal and communal. Lament is not only life is hard, it is also we have sinned. Third, it summons solidarity. We join the cries of suffering believers around the world, interceding until dawn. Finally, it cultivates hope, not the instant kind, but the sturdy kind that waits for the God who does not willingly afflict and who will one day unveil the new Jerusalem. So do not press skip. Sit with the widow's city. Tell God the truth about your losses and your sins. Ask him to look and to act. And do so with cruciform confidence. The man of sorrows stands within the ruins, whispering resurrection. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where have I avoided lament, preferring distraction to truth-telling before God? And what would it look like to bring that grief into prayer this week? Number two, in what ways might my repentance, personal or corporate, become part of God's healing in my community? And now our practical exercise. Write a short lament to God, three honest lines. One naming a loss, one confessing a sin, one expressing a hope. Pray it slowly. Then intercede for someone else's sorrow with the same words. Look, O Lord, and see. Merciful God, you who see the ruins and hear the cries, look upon us. Receive our confession, honor our tears, and meet us at the cross where justice and mercy embrace. Comfort the afflicted, correct the wayward, and kindle in us resilient hope until the new Jerusalem descends. Through Jesus Christ, man of sorrows and Lord of glory. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.